Penguin Random House Audio presents The Singularity is Nearer, When We Merge with AI by Ray Kurzweil. Read for you by Adam Barr. Note to listeners, this audiobook includes a downloadable PDF with illustrations and graphs from the book. To Sonia Rosenwald Kurzweil. As of a few days ago, I have now gotten to know her and love her for 50 years. Introduction. In my 2005 book, The Singularity is Near, I set forth my theory that convergent, exponential technological trends are leading to a transition that will be utterly transformative for humanity. There are several key areas of change that are continuing to accelerate simultaneously. Computing power is becoming cheaper. Human biology is becoming better understood. And engineering is becoming possible at far smaller scales. As artificial intelligence grows in ability and information becomes more accessible, we are integrating these capabilities ever more closely with our natural biological intelligence. Eventually, nanotechnology will enable these trends to culminate in directly expanding our brains with layers of virtual neurons in the cloud. In this way, we will merge with AI and augment ourselves with millions of times the computational power that our biology gave us. This will expand our intelligence and consciousness so profoundly that it's difficult to comprehend. This event is what I mean by the singularity. The term singularity is borrowed from mathematics, where it refers to an undefined point in a function, like when dividing by zero, and physics, where it refers to the infinitely dense point at the center of a black hole, where the normal laws of physics break down. But it is important to remember that I use the term as a metaphor. My prediction of the technological singularity does not suggest that rates of change will actually become infinite, as exponential growth does not imply infinity, nor does a physical singularity. A black hole has gravity strong enough to trap even light itself, but there is no means in quantum mechanics to account for a truly infinite amount of mass. Rather, I use the singularity metaphor because it captures our inability to comprehend such a radical shift with our current level of intelligence. But as the transition happens, we will enhance our cognition quickly enough to adapt. As I detailed in The Singularity is Near, long-term trends suggest that the singularity will happen around 2045. At the time that book was published, that date lay 40 years, two full generations, in the future. At that distance, I could make predictions about the broad forces that would bring about this transformation, but for most readers, the subject was still relatively far removed from daily reality in 2005. And many critics argued then that my timeline was over-optimistic, or even that the singularity was impossible. Since then, though, something remarkable has happened. Progress has continued to accelerate in defiance of the doubters. Social media and smartphones have gone from virtually non-existent to all-day companions that now connect the majority of the world's population. Algorithmic innovations and the emergence of big data have allowed AI to achieve startling breakthroughs sooner than even experts expected. From mastering games like Jeopardy and Go, to driving automobiles, writing essays, passing bar exams, and diagnosing cancer. Now, powerful and flexible large language models like GPT-4 and Gemini can translate natural language instructions into computer code, dramatically reducing the barrier between humans and machines. By the time you read this, tens of millions of people likely will have experienced these capabilities firsthand. Meanwhile, the cost to sequence a human's genome has fallen by about 99.997%, and neural networks have been unlocking major medical discoveries by simulating biology digitally. We're even gaining the ability to finally connect computers to brains directly. Underlying all these developments is what I call the law of accelerating returns. Information technologies like computing get exponentially cheaper because each advance makes it easier to design the next stage of their own evolution. As a result, as I write this, $1 buys about 11,200 times as much computing power, adjusting for inflation, as it did when The Singularity Is Near hit shelves. The following graph, which I'll discuss in depth later in the book, summarizes the most important trend powering our technological civilization. The long-term exponential growth, shown as a roughly straight line on this logarithmic scale, and the amount of computing power a constant dollar can purchase. Moore's law famously observes that transistors have been steadily shrinking, allowing computers to get ever more powerful. But that is just one manifestation of the law of accelerating returns, which already held true long before transistors were invented and can be expected to continue even after transistors reach their physical limits and are succeeded by new technologies. This trend has defined the modern world, and almost all the coming breakthroughs discussed in this book will be enabled by it directly or indirectly. So we have kept on schedule for the singularity. The urgency of this book comes from the nature of exponential change itself. Trends that were barely noticeable at the start of this century are now actively impacting billions of lives. In the early 2020s, we entered the sharply steepening part of the exponential curve, and the pace of innovation is affecting society like never before. For perspective, the moment you're reading this is probably closer to the creation of the first superhuman AI than to the release of my last book, 2012's How to Create a Mind. And you're probably closer to the singularity than to the release of my 1999 book, The Age of Spiritual Machines. Or, measured in terms of human life, babies born today will just be graduating college when the singularity happens. This is, on a very personal level, a different kind of near than it was in 2005. That is why I've written this book now. Humanity's millennia-long march toward the singularity has become a sprint. In the introduction to The Singularity Is Near, I wrote that we were then in the early stages of this transition. Now, we are entering its culmination. That book was about glimpsing a distant horizon. This one is about the last miles along the path to reach it. Luckily, we can now see this path much more clearly. Although many technological challenges remain before we can achieve the singularity, its key precursors are rapidly moving from the realm of theoretical science to active research and development. During the coming decade, people will interact with AI that can seem convincingly human, and simple brain-computer interfaces will impact daily life much like smartphones do today. A digital revolution in biotech will cure diseases and meaningfully extend people's healthy lives. At the same time, though, many workers will feel the sting of economic disruption, and all of us will face risks from accidental or deliberate misuse of these new capabilities. During the 2030s, self-improving AI and maturing nanotechnology will unite humans and our machine creations as never before, heightening both the promise and the peril even further. If we can meet the scientific, ethical, social, and political challenges posed by these advances, by 2045, we will transform life on Earth profoundly for the better. Yet if we fail, our very survival is in question. And so this book is about our final approach to the singularity, the opportunities and dangers we must confront together over the last generation of the world as we knew it. To begin, we'll explore how the singularity will actually happen, and put this in the context of our species' long quest to reinvent our own intelligence. Creating sentience with technology raises important philosophical questions, so we'll address how this transition affects our own identity and sense of purpose. Then we will turn to the practical trends that will characterize the coming decades. As I will show, the law of accelerating returns is driving exponential improvements across a very wide range of metrics that reflect human well-being.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?